Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Hey, listen.
You have an inhaler?
I have asthma, Adam.
You have asthma?
Yeah, I have really bad lung. No, when I quit smoking, because God hates me.
Yeah. I got to tell you, if I had asthma, this game that we're going to talk about today, it would really freak me out. Because there's a lot of times where you have to like turn on the dust machine, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, man, I don't want to breathe that and deal with an alien. No thanks.
Oh, yeah,
that's
no.
Too many things.
I wouldn't survive most horror situations just because of asthma.
I think that's the fantasy everyone's getting out of this genre, is like things you would never survive. Let's play a character who might.
Exactly.
You know? Guys, please, for God's sake, the alien can hear this shit. There's an onboard mic. Oh, God! Hey, everybody. Welcome to One Upsmanship. We did the slow roll natural intro this time, so you know it's going to be a good conversation between pals just about the game. My name's Michael Swaim. Who else I got around me?
My name is Adam Ganser, and I'm joined by one of our favorite longtime collaborators.
That's right.
Dave. Hi. Thanks for having me on. I'm Dave. I'm your friend, Dave.
You are Dave, and you are our friend. That's true.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, before we jump all the way into Alien Isolation, do I remember correctly that when this game first came out, you like shut yourself in a cupboard and played it straight? Is that right?
I, for a cracked article, this was back when I realized that you could just lie and say you did something. Because I was doing a bunch of articles where I would do the thing, and I legitimately blacked out my windows in my first apartment in Los Angeles. Robert Evans let me borrow his AK-47, which I kept in the room. I went out to Target and I bought survival stuff.
I bought
a bunch of MREs, meals ready to eat, a bunch of energy
regular
drinks.
Food.
Yep, I had a weird Mexican alcohol that Robert had brought me. That tasted terrible. I blacked out my entire room. I covered my computer with a sheet, so I was in pitch black, and I had bottles to pee in, and I played the entire game without pausing. So, for example, when I had to eat, I would find a quiet place in the game and hunker down and then eat in real life.
Oh, so even that was a sound hazard. Because if people don't know, a function of this game is, at the time, that was really revolutionary. Now, full disclosure, we already said it, but we're talking Alien Isolation. I didn't play, because I have a PS5 now, and this is the first time I played it. I didn't have the cam. I don't have Sony cam. So there's no head tracking for the leaning, and there was no, the alien can hear you through the microphone.
Right.
But originally, there was the alien could hear. So you would eat and crunch the MREs and be worried about the alien hearing you?
Well, they were pretty quiet, to be honest. But
did
yes,
you ever?
That was the idea.
Couldn't you just go into a hiding spot, or couldn't you just die?
That's what I did.
Into a locker.
No,
into a locker.
Yeah, I would. That's what I do. I'd go into hiding spots, and then
the locker we're in for the duration of this episode, based on that we started with. But my question
is cramped in here.
It wasn't hard. It was psychologically hard.
Could you let the Xeno kill you and then eat and pee while it's on the
That's what I would have done. Yeah. Yeah.
That's not
Let's get on with this shit.
I did not do that. And I think in retrospect, I wouldn't do it at all. I would just pretend
I wouldn't do
it.
Any of this shit. Yeah.
I wouldn't do any of that.
Just made
and
it
also,
up.
Peeing into a bottle is a science all its own.
Depends on the bottle. You get the big Snapple bottles. You get
learn factoid and you have a place to pee.
Have you ever peed into a can? Now that
twice enriching.
That is once, terrifying.
And I
that's tough.
Learned never to do that again. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tough. Yeah. I try to arrange my life in such a way as to not use beverage containers for my urine. That's just a principle I have.
Sure.
And,
only
snapping
plates.
Into format.
Only dinner plates for Adam.
Yeah, flat services for me. I like that juggling act that happens at the end.
Right.
Snapping right into format here.
Clink
Let's pass our first checkpoint and do our brand spanking new segment to you, Dave, which is Tell Me Like I'm 8-Bit. Wherein the Dave of the episode explains simply to someone who has no idea what this game is, what is Alien Isolation?
Well, Alien Isolation is a horror game that serves as a sequel to the original Alien film. You are Amanda Ripley, the daughter of Ellen Ripley, who is seen, I believe, in Aliens in the extended version, being played by Sigourney Weaver's mother. This is Amanda Ripley. I think it's 15 years after the events of Alien. So you're all grown up and you've sort of, you know, you're still kind of looking for your mother. And you are approached by a dude named Samuels who tells you that they found, what did they find? The flight recorder? Sorry, it's been a minute. They flight recorder off the Nostromo. And you might find closure, and it's being held on this space station. So you go to this gigantic space station that's rotating a big ass planet, a gas giant, I believe, like a Jupiter type. And there's an accident that basically separates you from the ship that brought you there. And you are on the space station alone, hence the name Isolation, where, oh boy, something's happening on this space station. There is some sort of alien on this station. and there are also androids called Working Joes that, boy, they aren't working quite right.
Yeah,
and
what are they doing?
Yeah, and so it becomes a game of cat and mouse where basically this alien will kill you if it sees you. So, boy, you best not be seen by the alien. So you spend most of the game hiding and running around. And also these Working Joes will mess you up as well. You eject the first alien, very much like the movie Alien, only to learn that there are way more aliens on board. You learn that the Working Joe and the computers are protecting the aliens, much like the original. Because Weyland-Yutani is behind everything, as they always are. You have to screw with the artificial intelligence to burn the aliens. You realize that there's a nest on board, and that's fucked up. It's kind of terrifying. And eventually, the ship gets caught into the gravitational pull of the planet. You get off at the last minute. And you get back to the original ship, only to find there's an alien in there, too. You launch yourself out into space because you're in a spacesuit. You are floating in space, and a searchlight shines on your face, and the game ends. You also, somewhere in there, get a level of closure with your ma, who left you a message that you find. That's pretty much the game done. I'm done.
You did a wonderful job.
You say that to all the guests.
I do.
Have you ever told a guest they did a bad job?
No, I wouldn't do that because I'm a professional podcast host.
Yeah, I think you've
host,
once or twice enwrapped it in a joke and said, wow, well, that was something, you know, or something like that.
Once in a while, we're like, that was words. Yeah. Those were words. No, you did great, especially if anyone is interested in a story recap of this game, which I was, and I'm glad you did that.
Yeah.
I just want to add, in case somebody's like, has no idea what this is. It was released in 2014. It's a first-person survival game where you are not given meaningful weapons.
Yes. We'll get into that.
But you don't have, like, it's not a shooter. It's much more of a hide and survive type
game.
Yeah,
I think that's just a fact. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
I disagree with that.
Okay, one thing that is a fact. At the time, it was important to note that the alien AI was seen as very sophisticated.
Yeah.
In that, if you play the level more than one time, the alien never acts the same way. And that's important because it makes it so that there's no way to speed run this game where you're like, okay, he's going to go around the corner here. Like, every time you die, it's a new situation. That's important.
That's absolutely right.
Prior to almost every other hide-and-seek-based game, which was... you figure out their roots. And even new games still do that. Horizon is still doing this. You see their route. Their route is a loop. You wait till they pass you. You go.
Right.
This was not that. It's alive, so to speak. My God. True consciousness.
Oh, my God. Great. So let's pass our next checkpoint and get into the gamer rants. And Swaim, since you disagree with what I thought were facts, I'd love to hear you rock it off first. Is that cool?
Yeah. Player one plug in, and Dave, that's Wonderful. How you know that he thinks you fucked it up because he added stuff at the end. If it
right.
had been perfect, then he wouldn't have added.
First of all, I don't like this little alliance thing you're trying to do. Let's get rid of that shit right off the bat.
I'm lying with you to neg Dave, if anything.
Good.
I like alliances, as I've always said. So you guys succeeded.
So anyway,
when it comes to a game like Inscription, and Dave, please... bring your own opinions into this. No, I'm just trying to fuck with Adam.
Here we go.
Can I actually?
No,
on that
we
subject?
Can't say anything about Inscription.
I'm just gonna say I thought you both did very good. I thought it was a very fair episode. I thought it was very even-handed.
Yeah, ultimately.
Yeah,
I also thought that way. And
I'm glad I did not get slaughtered. I can quickly advocate for Inscription as I really like that game.
It is a good game.
But like overall, I thought you guys did a pretty good job. Yeah,
thanks, bud.
We're good.
Okay, here's my actual Alien Isolation rant. I had an interesting arc with Alien Isolation because I never played it before because I don't usually like survival horror games because they are too scary for me. Jump scares really get me, and it's not a feeling I like. It's like being tickled, and you're like, why would I do this voluntarily? I don't like that feeling. I love horror movies, and I'll have to do some more meditating on why but even jump scares aren't my favorite there, but they don't make me shy away. But in gaming, I really think it's scarier, and especially in VR nowadays, these dang nab kids are, you know, the shit that we're up to. Like, some VR games are so scary, I can barely handle it until I get used to it. And so I avoided Alien Isolation at the time because it seemed like one of those games with the points to be really scared, and I'm not into that with my gaming. So I played it for the first time for the show. I did play it all at night with all the lights turned off and stuff. I only had a Beretta, and I feel bad about that. It wasn't an AK. And I had some Canadian alcohol. So, like, a lesser version of everything Dave did. See, Dave, you can just make it up. And, no, I did play it all in dark. As I said, I didn't have the camera for leaning, and I didn't have the microphone, which does lose a dimension that I think is interesting and worth discussing, but it's kind of like a 3D or smell-o-vision layer in the sense that the game's fully functional without it. I didn't feel shorted because the alien couldn't hear me. I was mostly silent because I was playing a video game, so it wasn't a big deal. I did play it in sessions because I'm not a maniac, and I had a markedly different experience each session. I would say that this is a game about mastering your fear. And this is not even getting into the execution on the atmosphere level, because actually the first thing I experienced was, wow, what great atmosphere and vibes. Wow, how well designed. And that was my first blush. Then my second blush was, all right, the aliens entered the story. I'm scared. I hate these games. Oh, my God, I'm scared. Then I started feeling, this is unfair. I'm dying so much. I can't figure out how to get past here. Everyone always sees me so easily. Fuck this game. Like, oh, this is going to be a hard one, right? For me personally. Then, long stretch in the middle, where I gotta say, and it's opened up other old classic games that I think I might give a shot, where I really enjoyed the hide-and-seek element when I just thought of it as hide-and-seek, and when I mastered my fear. And by that I mean, I got killed by the alien enough that it did lose its sting. That I was like, well, it's just an animation of me dying, and then I'll respawn and I'll try again. So when it just became a loss, and I got over going, whoa, every time that the alien killed me, like the Working Joes are a fantastic example. There's a Working Joe that is paralyzed from legs down and laying on the ground in a particular way, and it's every fucking where. There's like 9 of them, and they're always laying the exact same way. And the first time you pass one, it grabs your leg and says something creepy, like some nursery rhyme or whatever, and that scared the shit out of me. The 9th time, I go, oh, it's one of those Working Joes. Okay, grab my leg, I hit your hand, we go. Like, it's just a gameplay element. And when it just became a gameplay element for me, because I'm not liking the being scared, I was able to really settle in and enjoy that it's a sophisticated hide-and-seek game. I did really like the hide-and-seek, but I gotta say, compared to a game like Half-Life, which I recently replayed for the show, and you really, really struggle, or even Resident Evil 2 remake, particularly, like, or even Dead Space to some degree. The balance of ammo drops is what I'm getting at. I think in this game, and I had it on normal as far as I recall, it like spoils you. Like, I constantly had an overabundance of so much ammo that by the end I went, I'm not scared of the alien at all. And I played the last 8 hours like a normal FPS. I had plenty of ammo. I killed everything with my guns. Like, you can do that. You just gather a lot of ammo.
But not the alien. You can't kill the alien.
No, you can never. But then like playing RE2, where it's like, okay, there's this one thing I run from. Everything else, I blah, blah, blah. And then I got to say, and this is a gripe I levy at a lot of games. This will wrap up my rant. I do think by the end it really dragged on and ground to a halt. And I stopped enjoying it for quite a few hours towards the end. Because at some point it just became, well, now I'm just basically, like, I know the alien's exact cone of vision. I'm very used to what the alien's going to look at when. Even though it doesn't repeat, I know its animations. Like, I could tell when it was going to turn its head left or right or go in a vent or go forward or turn. And it did feel like, well, now I'm just crossing the street looking both ways. Like, don't get hit by the bus and you'll be fine. And then it became just a slow trudge toward, now I got to go over here. Now I got to set the clamps. Now she fell down a thing. We got to climb back up so we can unset the clamps that we just set. Great. This is thrilling. So, like, by the end, I got really sick of it, and I wanted it to be significantly shorter, and then I would think it rips. And that's just little old Swaim. It was rant. The end.
Can I go? Can I get it?
Of course. Yeah,
please sandwich. Stay. Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
Please stay.
Yeah, Dave Sandwich. Because, I guess, so I want to start by saying I think you're partially right. I know we'll do this in discussion, in that the game is too long. I think it's too long in the middle, not the end. That's my one critique of it. But in my opinion, I think this is one of the best horror games I've ever played. Maybe the best horror game I've played. Mind you, I'm a big horror movie fan, not a big horror game fan. So I want to start with that disclaimer that I actually don't play a lot of horror games, kind of for the reason Mike said, which is that they're generally unnerving, and I play games more often for the opposite feeling, to more relax. So, like, I love horror movies. I grew up on horror movies. Horror games I'm less into. That said, I've also grew up on Alien. What I love about this as a horror game is that, unlike the horror games I have played, at no point do you feel powerful. I never felt powerful, even when I got the better weapons and equipment. You don't really get what you want from them. Everything you do has to take time. I found myself wanting to leave every room I was in as fast as possible. Every dead body you find tells a story. The environment is chaotic in itself. The noises of the ship when things start falling apart. Every vent and dark corner is like creepy, especially since an alien can in fact get you from it. The creatures are designed to blend into the environment. It's a constant feeling of unease as a baseline with this game. It probably doesn't help that I played it all in one sitting. Where, like, playing it all, I never had time to process it and get used to the game. I was just powering through it. You never feel safe, really. And I found it very stressful and very fun. It's one of my favorite games that I never want to play, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it does
make sense.
Yeah. That said, one of the best horror games, if someone said to me, this game is better, I'd be like, yeah, sure. One thing I do believe that isn't, I feel like this isn't an opinion, this is just a fact, but of course this is all very subjective. But one thing I believe wholeheartedly is that in terms of a movie to game adaptation or sequel, this is the absolute best one ever made. I can't think of a better adaptation of a movie into game.
Gone with Throne. That's fun to think about. I'm trying.
I can't. Yep. It is the best one. It is complete. It captures the first Alien film more than some other Aliens films. The aesthetics and atmosphere. Like, I'd say it blows Prometheus out of the water, even though that was made by Ridley Scott. Because the people who made this movie love it. There are some close seconds. In terms of adaptation.
Someone clearly never played the SNES game Krusty's Super Funhouse.
Apparently
clearly.
Not.
Clearly.
This is a love letter to Alien. Yeah. And because of the heavy nostalgia I personally have, it's weird to play a game that I both dread being in and want to live inside. At the same time, I find everything, down to the sounds of the computers, the key typing, the hum of the computers, everything just like was this warm nostalgic blanket for me that just perfectly recreated the first Alien movie and a little bit of the second one. They weren't afraid to copy the 70s aesthetic of it all, which I think we need more in both film and games. We need more prequels and sequels where they don't feel this weird need to like make the tech updated. Just embrace what the movie, the original was and the aesthetic. And you'll get way more people responding to it like I did. I loved it. At the same time, it adds to the lore with the working Joes, making a prototype of characters like Ash. And I love that they remembered to put that threat in there, and the working Joes themselves were very well done. That said, that is the part I think that goes on too long. I don't think we need so much working Joes. There's a part where everything comes to a halt and you have to kind of just deal with them. And that's like the middle area. And I think this game could have been considerably shorter, even though a playthrough of this can be like 8 hours. Right. It still doesn't need to be this long. I think it stretches. I also think that it's not breaking any too new. Well, here's what I'll say. The plot, I think it's a fantastic idea to focus on Ripley's daughter and to extend the lore between Alien 1 and 2. I like the character. I like the characters around her. It's still a video game. So, like, unlike the first Alien, if you recall, you didn't even know Ripley was a main character. And this, you clearly know who the main character is and who's going to survive. And that's part of it. Like, I think it would have been cool to play as a different character and die a quarter of the way through this game and then play as a new character or something like that, just to make it you feel a little more unsafe. The Weyland-Yutani stuff is as expected as well. But overall, I really like where they went with this, the idea of it, the extension of the story. I thought that was cool. It's not an amazing story. It's not The Last of Us. But I thought as an extension of Alien, it pretty much like that you could make this a movie easily. Most Alien movies should just be kind of slashers anyway. At the end of the day, I just found this game very beautiful. I liked, again, existing in the game. I feel like it is unique to play a horror game where you never feel that powerful. At no point can you kill the alien. And I think the entire game kind of branches off of that fact. I will never forget the sound of that alien dropping from the vent and walking around like that. That triggers me. I was watching a gameplay of this and I was getting nervous just watching someone else play it. And part of that is my own personal experience. But also, I think this game is just beautifully crafted as a horror game, but especially as an adaptation. I don't think we'll see another game like it because I read that there will not be a sequel, unfortunately. So this game is very unique in that regard, and it really stands out to me. And that's my rant on it. The end.
Have you played PT or Prey? Just wondering.
No, I heard Prey was similar, but is Prey a game where...
It's not similar.
I would call it similar, but it gave me a lot of fun.
I looked up a list of like games like Alien Isolation, and they were all still games where like you just blast the bad guy. And in this game, you just can't really do that. You can blast the Working Joes and the Facehuggers, but the alien itself.
Prey has an unkillable thing, but go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and interject. We could save all this for after the break. But first, I'm going to do my rant. So Player 3, plug it in. Actually, I kind of agree with almost everything Dave said. I think I've played this game 3 times. The third time I didn't enjoy it at all, which says I think that the horror stopped working. So it was fantastic, though, the first time I played it. And I was riveted and thoroughly enjoyed it. The second time I played it, I noticed that the experience of the story is pretty flat. Like, all the pieces of the story are fine, but most of what you're doing is very much like, go to the MacGuffin chamber and twist the MacGuffin knob, you know what I mean? And it's like, all right, none of the objectives feel very grounded in the emotional arc of the story, which is a problem with almost all video games, so I'm not holding that super against this, but just to add a couple things that we might want to talk about. I think the storytelling is fine. The story itself is very much a super expanded version of Alien. I agree, as a movie adaptation, this is really pretty tops. I think there's been some really great Star Wars games, but this game is so devoted to capturing Alien. Not any of the sequels so much as Alien. The sounds, the look, the production design, the lighting, even the plot elements. Like, it wants to capture that movie. And I think that was a good decision for a horror game, because that was a horror movie. And the rest of the franchise moved away from it to some degree, so that was a good decision. I don't super care about its connection to the larger movie universe so much. I know some people really do, and it's neat that it does. I think that this is a whole little tableau of games like Outlast and Soma and some others. And I think it's the best of that little tiny niche genre where you're not really shooting. I mean, there's a little bit of shooting, but you're not really doing that. It's really more the evading and the surviving and the traversing these three-dimensional horror puzzles so that you can get out of this space and safe for a little while. I can't remember a game that gave me more attention. I mean, Outlast is a close contender, which is, again, the same type of game. But this game, you just feel so much tension, and it's really well done. I agree with both of your critique that it's too long. It's about 10 hours too long, I would say, because it takes about 30, 32 hours to get through this game, and it should have been 20. I think that would have been a perfect length, like around Dead Space 1's length would have been perfect. So it's too long. I think also there's something about capturing the feeling of a movie you already love that enhances a game experience in a way that an original IP can't do. And that's part of what makes this so successful. Forgive me for the motorcycle zipping through our lives here. I think that the fact that it's so accurately captured Alien is part of what heightens the tension, because we already have emotional feelings about the alien, and the alien is really well rendered here. Even when it gets close and kills you, you feel like you never quite see the whole thing. I didn't use any of the features that the Xbox One was sort of marketing, like with the camera and the movement stuff. And was this an Xbox exclusive when it came out? It doesn't look like it was. So I didn't use any of those features. I bet it would be awesome in VR, though. Like, if any of you have VR and haven't played this game, I would say, having not played it on VR, give it a shot. It's got to be awesome on that platform. I can't imagine how it couldn't be. Just so that we're not repeating ourselves over and over, I'll save the rest of my points for after the break. That is my rant.
Nice. This is available on VR?
I believe it is. I believe there is a 2021 VR mod. I was looking into it.
I might have to look into that. I have an opinion on VR, which is that I played Phasmophobia on VR, and I found that, like, horror game or not, the problem with VR, any game that's long, is that you just kind of don't want to be wearing VR for
yeah,
that.
It's not comfortable enough. That's an issue.
There's some video games you just want to lounge on the couch and be able to like have a drink and eat a little snack
and mitigate and, like, VR, the terror you're living with.
Exactly,
right, which you can't do in a VR game. That's
VR
right.
is like you got to stand up, you got to be fully attentive and in the game, and it's like even if it was a chill game, sometimes I'm like I'm not in the mood, just not in the mood for that.
Yeah. This game, again, because it came out in 2014, it was sort of an early last-gen game, and it felt, at the time, like a big graphical leap. And I think part of the genius of the designers of it is that by sticking to that sort of production design vibe from the past, it's actually stayed a great-looking game, even though start looking at faces and stuff, it's like, it doesn't look quite as good. There's something about capturing accurately the production design from a movie we already loved that sort of makes a thing feel permanent and flexible in the graphical department. So, Mike, unless you got anything you want to add, is it cool if we jump to go meet our sponsors and come back and hope we've made sense of this mess? What do you think?
I thought we were on the other side of the break. I thought we hit the break when he started talking about VR, no?
We didn't. No, it's a real mess down here.
Game on vibes to me.
I know it does. It's a real mess down here. Let's take a quick break. You know, maybe one of us is dead on the other side of the break. We'll see.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back to One Upsmanship. We're still talking Alien Isolation, and now Game On vibes are fully in effect because indeed we have passed another checkpoint and the game is on. This is when we just say whatever we want to say.
She is on. Yeah. That's right. So nobody's tried it in VR. You didn't try it, Mike, at all?
No, I wasn't aware it was available, okay. But I just Googled during the break. Quest, it works on the Quest. You have to mod it, but it's doable.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I think I would try the DLC. Did you guys play the DLC where it recreates Alien, the ending of Alien?
I feel I did
that. You play as the characters.
It's been years ago, right? Like years and years ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I did that when it came out.
Yeah, I could see doing that. Or honestly, I would just play the first beat of this where you're on the other ship and safe in VR. Like, kind of the same way Star Trek Bridge Crew, I love playing the TNG and just existing on the bridge. I don't even need to play the game. I just want to be in that
world.
There
you are. Finally, Dave. Finally in space.
Yeah. And this is another ship that, I would love to just chill on.
So like this game, I think you said it perfectly, and I think it deserves a little bit of conversation. It's rare that a game so successfully establishes vibes like this game did. Like this game really puts you in the middle of it. Like right away,
it is a slow burn because you get on the space station and you have to sort of exist on the space station and walk around and you're waiting for something to happen, and it's like for a while it's just spooky noises and you're just kind of walking around and you encounter that guy who then the first time you see the alien he kills that guy and it takes a while, but it escalates so beautifully. Axel. That you feel once you're on the space station, you're like, any moment I know this bastard is going to pop out at me, you know?
Well, one of the cool things that happened in Alien that they took and made super meaningful in this game is the use of like vents and ducts and sort of like underground circuit paths and stuff. The kind of stuff that, you know, it's in a lot of games, right? Like even Dead Space, you crawl through like these little crawl spaces or whatever. But in this game, they tell stories while you're underground a lot, or like the existence of those little anuses on the wall.
Yeah, the little metal anuses.
They creep
anuses.
You out. They're creepy sounded looking thing. Like they look like giant camera apertures.
Yeah, shutters. Yeah,
shutters. That's right. And they like the fact that you're constantly sort of navigating through those kind of spaces, again, without guns, sometimes without lights, and then sometimes the alien will just be in there. You know what I mean?
I was about to say, what was the first time you realized, oh, no, it can come in here, too?
Yeah, or, it's great.
The first time I realized that if you walk over certain vents or walk under certain vents, you're going to get plucked up by the alien. Like the drool vents. Like you realize,
the drool vents.
Like,
yeah. That's right. Swamo, did you... So I'm just interested because you just recently played it. Did this feel dated to you at all? Or did it feel like a fresh experience?
Fresh or dated is an interesting question. I think it's retro. Isn't it intentionally supposed to be, you know, it's that 70s
Do you mean,
aesthetic.
Though, in the, in
I
the
loved
game
that
design?
It was the 70s aesthetic. Or do you mean the mechanics being
I mean the mechanics of it primarily. Like, when you, like, did it feel like a game that could have released last year? Did it feel like it was locked in time? Because some of these other games do. Like, Outlast and Soma do, I would say.
Yeah, I feel like it felt like Soma, but it's still like an underrepresented genre. And I thought some aspects of it felt unique to it, which would make it fresh by definition, I guess. So, yeah.
I think a more modern version of this game, which would be honestly not as good, is if they did a Friday the 13th style, where someone plays as the alien and everybody else is on the ship. I do want to shout out Friday the 13th as surprisingly... the second place for game that adaptation of a movie, because I think that game.
Yeah.
Well, in terms of attention to detail.
Yeah.
And in terms of, like, if you watch Friday the 13th, all the movies, and then you play the game, you're like, oh my God, these are just the sets, down to like the objects on the tables sometimes. So, like, that's, I don't know. That's all.
It's surprising.
But, like,
that
I'd say this is it's a little dated, right? Because, of course, it's like you said, 2014.
I don't mean that it's dated in terms of how does it look. Yeah. Oh, actually, yeah. What you're saying is right. It's an old game. It's like almost 10 years old now. It's 8 years. I just meant, like, sometimes you play a game from that era and it feels like this doesn't really work. Like, the most recent Mass Effect felt dated even a little bit when it came out. Or
I would,
like,
Yeah, I would guess the alien AI is probably dated at this point, right?
Interesting.
Because I remember at the time thinking, this is amazing.
And it's not as hard now. That's true.
Yeah, right? But I think AI always varies, right? Like, I've played, we reviewed, what's it called, Deathloop, and the AI in that is very simplistic. That's still a fun game. But, like, I feel like that varies game to game. I don't know much about making games, but I think some games
do.
Put more care.
Here.
Yeah, it feels like some games put more care into it than others. And so I think the alien AI is still pretty damn good compared to modern games. Man, I kind of want to say I don't think this game is as dated as it could have been. It's surprisingly not.
No,
dated.
It's held up. That's how I felt about it. But I was sort of curious because Mike hadn't played it if he felt the same.
Right.
So that's, I mean, I'm surprised by that. I would also say I thought your idea that it could be an asymmetric multiplayer game is really interesting. And I'm surprised they didn't do that.
Yeah,
like, you could easily make Evolve
think...
out of this game and they didn't.
Yeah.
And that would be really cool.
I think that's a cool idea as long as they still made this game. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because this game, but that is the feeling of the AI, is that's what they want you to feel, right? Is like you're playing against another player as opposed to
It's almost as good as that, right?
Yeah.
It's almost that good. Like, the AI is that unpredictable that you feel like you're actually battling with an intelligence that might be able to see you.
Yeah, I remember that. What was it? It's like the infirmary. I forget. There's one sequence, I think the first time, where you have to punch in a code on the door at the end of the room, and the alien is walking around. I remember feeling so goddamn stressed at that. That was probably the longest the game took me in one part, is just dealing with that, because it was a fairly open space. You had to keep hiding, and the alien just did not.
Didn't want to cooperate.
Didn't want to cooperate.
Did not want
to
cooperate.
And that sound, when you run into a room and you think, like, okay, he didn't see me, and then you just hear boom, 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 boom of the running, and you're like, no, 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 and it's tail through your torso.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Because there are some telltales for when you've been spotted, and once you hear them, you're screwed.
It's very visceral. Yeah, Mike, I get what you're saying about, like, after a while, you're like, this is the death animation, and the more you die... But there are certain things I never could get over, which was like the when you know you're caught and there's like 5 seconds before you're killed and you're just like, no, no, no. Oh, God. Oh, God. Like those moments were so visceral to me.
Dude,
I love
that's
them.
When you hit pause and say reload from checkpoint. That's what I did when I hit first footstep.
You refuse to experience death.
No, I just got to the point where I was experiencing it as a game, and I've seen the death animation enough. I wanted to proceed through the game.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I've been quiet because I feel like now, or I'm in the position I never like being in, but I feel like it should be part of the conversation. I had a very different experience than all the stuff you guys are totally agreeing
on. Oh,
let's
hear it. Let's hear it.
I thought it was super obvious when NPCs were going to die, like down to the second. I'd be like, oh, here goes Axel's death. I could really, really, really tell when the alien wasn't active and was active. I'd be like, oh, I can sprint now, because clearly based on the story structure, the alien won't be in this section. And I just sprint through that section. The drooling vent got me exactly once, and then I was like, oh, okay, always look up and check the vents for drool. Check. It never happened to me again. I didn't... I just felt like... And then the story eventually got under my skin, because you fall into a nest, you climb your way up, you set some magnetic clamps, you fall into the nest again, you climb up, you unset the magnetic clamps. That's not okay, story structure.
There's a point
where there's a flashback where you go into one of the guys who brought the aliens in's mind or memory, and you walk for 3.5 minutes with nothing. You just walk straight down a wooden, like a metal gangplank, and then you press a button, and then you walk back, and then it fades to black, and that's the flashback. Ellipse that shit. What are you doing?
So, they do waste your time in this game. They 100% waste your time.
There's a lot of there and back again, which I actually like, because you have these moments where you go, oh, fuck, God, where you have to just, you're like, oh, I have to go back. I appreciate that they didn't try to make this like a puzzle game, to be honest. It functions, and that does make it monotonous in the sense that it's like, yeah, you just have to push a bunch of buttons all the time. Here's what I'll say is I never played Death Stranding, but that is a game of a lot of walking and vibes, right? Am I right in saying that?
That's how I feel about it, but Mike would say it's much more than that.
Yeah, I feel like it's much more, because you're constantly interacting with the terrain, the topography, the mules. Setting up, like, it's also a survival game where you gather resources. Now you can build a hover slingshot. Now you can set up infrastructure this way. I can, you know, create roads, etc., and then have trucks doing missions for me.
Yeah, I understand the overall, but like, there's a lot of moments. Or a better example is like Red Dead Redemption. There's that scene, I think, when you come back from when you briefly go to that other area, and it's like the man, I got to replay that game.
There's
where you just
montage.
Have to ride. You just have to ride your horse home.
Right.
And I think you could fast travel that if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. But it's just this long vibe. It's just, we're just enjoying this. And that's, for an alien fan, this knows what to savor. So, for example, the part where it's the flashback where you're just walking to find the ship. Mm-hmm. For as a really big fan of Alien, I was thrilled. About that, because I knew what was happening. I knew we were going to find the ship,
the engineer
on
the
that
giant
planet,
alien
the engineer,
husk.
and it was like experience this scene from the point of view of the character. Another thing I can compare it to
is
like
when I know what's going to happen. That's what bothered me about the story all the way through. Is I knew
and
what
I
was
would say,
happen.
Hold on, Dave. I would also say that as an Alien fan, I think that that kind of fan service actually subtracts from the emotional experience of the story, where it's you know what it's going to be. Now we're giving it to you. And
I think they should give us
a story here. I know you do.
I disagree because I'll tell you why, because it's for example, a better example. Actually, did you guys ever play Batman VR?
No.
No, I did not play
Batman
that.
Batman VR begins with Bruce Wayne's parents getting killed, which we've seen a million times, right? We've seen it a million times.
It wouldn't be a Batman if it didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, and so when it starts, you're like, oh, here we fucking go. Here's what happens, though, is it's all from the point of view of child Bruce, and you realize playing it from that vantage, it actually makes it terrifying again. Because these guys kill your parents, and then the guy like bends down and looks in your face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And suddenly you're like, oh my God,
what a traumatizing event for a child. Yeah.
Yeah. And you suddenly like, this is, I never thought that I could experience this a new way.
Fresh.
With Alien, it's not like Bruce's parents dying because that scene where they find the engineer isn't like replayed tons of times. But just that sequence of walking around the planet and just being in that body and how scary it is to be in this like suit that you don't really move around in. I think that would have benefited from VR hugely.
Agreed.
And then slowly discovering this spaceship. I don't know. I like that it savors these moments in this atmosphere.
I maintain
as a big Alien fan, it was just like another angle, another part of it.
I can't tell. I could never say
that. I'm also a big Alien fan, and that part did work on me. I just want to end by saying the positive bits, like the design, all that shit worked on me for some length of time until it didn't. But like,
sure,
some of the best menus in the game up there with Metroid Prime, and like the fact that they use the actual footage of the 20th Century Fox logo, dumb stuff
that
like that,
awesome.
But incredible attention to detail in the design. The design is impeccable. Did make me like feel like I was in the movie Alien. I don't want to detract from any of that. I just thought if it was an Alien movie, the story would have been a weak Alien movie.
I think
it would have been a standard Alien movie. I'd
well,
say.
I think
It'd be
also
like Alien 3.
You're right. That is better than Prometheus. Actually, you're right about that.
I was going to say. I also think that nobody can say to another person like, "No, this doesn't work." Yes, it does. When it worked on you, you know what I mean. Like you can't do that. But I do think there's something to be said about fan service. Where when the beats are not freshly experienced or recontextualized, because like Dave's example of this Batman game, the reason it works is that we're doing this recontextualization, right? So we have a new emotional experience. But if the design is to repeat the emotional experience or even to sort of extend the emotional experience of a thing you already know, in general, I kind of feel like, try something else. Try a new thing.
You don't think it's refreshed by the fact that you are controlling the camera, which you can't do?
Broadly, yes. But at the key moments you were mentioning earlier, no. Like there are times where they just want to lapse into that. And those are the times where I start to get annoyed with it and it feels like it's wasting my time.
I think this is an important distinction because this is where it becomes very subjective, which is that personally, I am way less judgmental of the plot of a video game than the plot of a movie. And I don't know, you know, like that is a subjective idea. So like for me, fan service in a game is for like a lot more forgiving than fan service in a movie. Because a movie is existing in that universe. I do not feel like games necessarily, like I don't think of them as canon, you know? For example, a game I enjoyed that I know is a bad game is Alien Colonial Marines. Terrible game.
Yeah, I skipped that one.
But as an Alien fan, and the game is nothing but fan service, Hicks comes back and is just like, actually, I'm alive. And it's like, and it's Michael Biehn doing the voice. For me, it's like when they make like comic extensions, when it's like Alien versus Predator versus
Firefly
Batman.
Firefly wasn't canceled. Joss Whedon's doing a comic, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's fan fiction. This is fan fiction. And I am way more forgiving of fan fiction than when it's like, this is an official sequel that we're making as a movie. And it's made by some of the original people and has the original cast. When that feels like fan fiction, that bothers me. Because it's like, you're extending the universe. You should be telling more story. You should be justifying your existence and not just going, hey, remember Jurassic Park? You know what I mean?
And my response to that would be video games should not be seen as fan fiction by anybody. I mean, it's fine that you do, and I'm not saying you're wrong for that.
I'm saying we should be demanding
more of this medium than to say it's fine because for the most part, video game plots don't matter.
It's just a video game.
Yeah. Oh, I think you're absolutely right. I'm just saying it's a subjective thing. So it's totally, it's tough for me because I still think of this as on that level, and I'm still judging it more on that level where I'm just like, I just want to like I just want to geek out about like, oh, they're doing the thing. Also, oh, video, I did the stuff, you know.
Something because, interesting about video games as a medium is that story is technically optional, right? You don't need the story to play Tetris or Rocket League.
And
you,
the reason
you do need the story to play Alien Isolation, it's an optional thing, which is film can ditch story, but it's a lot harder.
Yeah, and I think the reason why there is a distinction, so in my mind, I don't think there'll ever fully be a video game that extends the canon of a movie or TV series in a way that it's necessary to play the game, because it's just not accessible to everyone. People who don't play video games, who can't play video games. For example, the Matrix games are very much an extension of the story, to the point mm-hmm. that the Wachowskis are like, this is an extension of the story.
They but consider then if, it canon, yeah.
Yeah, but then if you get to like the end of Path of Neo, they change the end, and they go on screen and they say, hi, we're the Wachowskis, we changed the ending because it's still a video game and we want it to be fun. And so like, I don't know if I necessarily want it to be that way, where like somewhere at some point someone watches a movie and goes, I wasn't following it, and someone has to go, well, you didn't play the game. You have to play the game.
Yeah, yeah. Those are distinct issues, I would say, because there's, on the one hand, there's building a massive canon where you expect everyone to retain all the information. And on the other hand, there's, I want the story to be self-sustaining enough that it's an emotionally rewarding experience. Personally, I don't enjoy almost anything that requires me to have seen 10 or 15 pieces of media I don't want to consume. You know what I mean?
Agree.
Like that's a broad thing, and like some people do want that, and God knows that's winning at the box office. So it's not for me to say it doesn't belong. I don't want my video games to contribute to the Alien canon per se. I just want my Alien video game to take the story seriously enough that that it doesn't feel like it just has to imitate Alien.
I would
order
like
for it to
any,
be good.
But that's
any
that's
version
where...
of Ripley, mother, daughter, or clone Ripley. To not have a doomed, horrible life where all they
exactly.
do is go into stasis and then encounter an alien and then go into stasis and then encounter an alien. These
but
poor
that,
women.
But that is, yeah, that is, but that is,
that's
that is
the plot
saying
of alien.
Something
yeah.
about the pattern, which is that, like, the pursuit always ends in the same way. They're going into these demons, these hell.
And you barely
and so
get away
idea,
and a demon is chasing you at the end always
exactly.
anyway.
Right,
yeah.
always.
Of course.
And so... And so, like, naturally, Ripley's daughter saying, I'm going to find out what happened to my mother, is going to end badly. It's not going to end well. And then the Weyland-Yutani stuff where it's like, yeah, it's repetitive, but it is what they're trying to do constantly. For better or for worse, I would argue aliens, they point out of like where they're like, they're trying to weaponize them. And then at the end, they're this nuke them, and it's like, so what do you need to weaponize here? It's the same with Jurassic World where they're like, we're weaponizing the raptors. And it's like, why?
We already have
you
nuclear
can,
weapons and
yeah.
planes. Yeah.
You know what can beat an alien or missiles. A raptor? A gun.
Right, exactly. Like, exactly.
But that's just...
Ooh, Cadillacs that, and dinosaurs.
Yeah. But that's
also,
these...
by the way, I did think of one game where I think it actually extended the universe in a way that's more meaningful to most people than the original thing. But I guess it's cheating because it's a comic. All the same in Max video games. The comic... that they're based on is phenomenal, but most people know the games, and I really do think the games expanded tremendously.
That's interesting.
Also,
yeah.
Star Wars
more of a household name.
There's
and
so
Star
many
Wars
Star Wars games that,
so,
that do
yeah,
this.
Star Wars is a close second for sure as capturing the world. I would argue this game does extend the lore in one way that I want to see in the movies, which is the presence of the working Joes.
They're cool. Yeah,
I think
yeah, they were
the
cool.
working Joes are really cool ideas, which is. They're basically the idea of like Bishop or Ash, but they don't have an in they're not individuals.
Yeah.
And so they don't need to have a skin and stuff like that. And so they're distinct from because spoilers, Samuels, I believe, is also a robot.
Well, of course, right?
Yeah,
like,
of
that's
course.
Another alien trope is that they is
he's
that,
a full
there's
alien.
Gotta be
yeah,
one.
Yeah, always yeah. have to have an alien a
right,
robot.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes yeah, robot. They're the turncoat, sometimes they're the self-sacrificial hero. It depends
yeah,
on
yeah, and
movie.
I think what Ridley Scott did with Prometheus was really cool when it explored the robots and the android stuff, but you know, that's a different conversation. I just think the working Joes is like I would love to see them pop up in an Alien sequel. That's the other thing about when this came out, because Prometheus had come out, right, at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a broader conversation, but the Alien movies are slasher films in that I love the first four, all of them, because they're basically taking a new director and saying, let's do a slasher with this new director in this world and have fun with it. And they're all essentially the same, which is Ripley wakes up, aliens attack, she has to fight the aliens and get away. A lot of people die because it's a slasher again. And I think Prometheus, what it was doing was fun, but it's kind of like it's... I personally could watch 20 Alien movies that are just slashers. And this, to me, is the same thing. This extends that idea. This is feels like Alien 5, where it's like, here's another story that's a slasher. The only difference is Ripley isn't the character in it, which I would argue Ripley doesn't have instead to be the main character Ripley. Of an Alien film.
Right.
Yeah, instead it's I don't think other Ripley.
Yeah, I don't think that... Yes, I think we could move on from that.
Although I do think that where Prometheus fell down for most people was a vibe level. It felt like a unique vibe. It almost feels more like Raised by Wolves, his HBO show.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like an Alien movie. Vibe-wise.
It didn't feel like an Alien movie. Yeah.
I agree.
Just put the stupid old-timey technology in it. You're making an Alien prequel?
Right.
Make it look like the fucking 70s.
I want to talk about a few things that are not the Alien franchise related to this game. I know, Dave. So, but briefly, one of them is, so I think we've probably both gone on records at different times, Swam, on this podcast and said, we hate the level in the video game where they take away all your stuff and make you like learn a thing and earn it back, which exists in so many games, right? And yet this concept that I don't know when it first was introduced, but it got pretty popular for about 5 years there in the early 2010s of stripping away the shooter part, really took off. Do you think that, do you like this genre of game? Do we want to see more of this genre of game? And how does this rank in that to you?
Me?
Yeah, either of you.
Do I?
Yeah,
think
do you?
Dave should answer.
Okay.
I think that, like I said, this is my favorite game that I hate playing, in the sense that it stresses me out in a way that it delights me. And it's because, like, yeah, most games I like, you know, a weird example, God of War, the PS2 ones, is like you start less powerful, you slowly get more powerful. And by the end, and yes, the demons get harder. But you still, they keep it at a way where you still feel more and more awesome as you go. And I think most video games, I personally enjoy that. There's certain games that are, you know, more artistic that they do specific things. And I would say this is one of them where, again, the point isn't that. You get more tools and stuff where you're like, haha, I can open this panel that I couldn't before. Oh, I can actually use the flamethrower and scare the alien off.
But you never
but
slay.
But for the most part,
yeah.
Yeah, and it's just not supposed to be that, where the victory, the you know, the chemicals releasing in my brain has to do with me going like, oh, God, I got out of there. I got out of there. Oh, my God. Okay, I got out. Like, it's that more than it is like, oh my God, look how awesome I am.
I beat that son of a bitch. Right.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of what I get from Elden Ring, which is
exactly
that dragon is mine now. And like the feeling of conquering, and that's a great feeling. And they really ramp that up. This, you never get that feeling here. The best you're ever going to get is like, I'm safe for a little while, but it's really profound, you know?
Yeah. I want more of that. The closest I've gotten to it, again, is the stupid Friday the 13th game where Jason is...
Those are fun for that.
Not unkillable, but mostly unkillable. And it's like, if you're face-to-face with Jason, guess what? You're going to die. So, like, it's all about not fighting, but just always getting away. You're just... It's cat and mouse. You're the mouse. And if you're found out, guess what? That's it. Game over. And it draws a hard line that I really enjoy.
So you get the flamethrower, and you constantly have tons of flamethrower ammo. Like, for the back half of
that's
the game,
toward the end of the
like
game.
You could scare it off all the time. I just scared it off all the time.
Well, maybe
that is
maybe
the closest
just really
you
good
get
at
to
it.
Being powerful. Yeah,
I wonder
to
if
say,
I'm
Michael,
sneakily good at this game, because I, by the end, was sprinting, letting it see me, scaring it off, doing whatever.
Right. I'm impressed with that, honestly. With I really am.
Yeah, no... This started with you saying you didn't like horror games. Michael, I think you might want to play more horror games. Because for me, again, I'm a big horror movie guy. Horror games, being immersed in it like this, I lose rationality a lot of the time. Mm. Like, I become a horror character.
That's what I meant is I totally had that period for like 4.5 hours where I was in the fear. But when I finally took deep breaths and conquered the fear and was like, it's just a video game, then I was like, this game is actually fairly easy.
Yeah, it sounds like it's
a little bit repetitive. Yeah, I have said at times on a stream playing games like this that I actually think that this is a more visceral horror experience than most horror movies. Horror movies are still kind of the prime of that genre.
No,
but
games do
I think,
it more, I agree.
I think games could, especially really well-designed ones, be better at horror than movies can.
Yeah.
I think the potential
exists for that.
Yeah, I was going to
say, if you shuffled this in with horror movies as a genre, this would be up there, I think.
For the experience.
This would be better than
Yeah,
this would be better than most horror movies when you take into account how many horror movies exist.
Right.
This would be in the top 20%, I would say.
Yeah, I think
maybe
that's
even
safe.
10%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have either of you played Outlast?
Yeah, no. A bit, but didn't finish
okay.
it. PT would be my favorite, I think, because it's so concise. Because that's my thing about hide-and-seek games, is
you
I don't
do
ultimately find them engaging enough.
Yeah,
I feel like that's why if I was... So to answer your previous questions, it's like, what are you like then in this genre? I do need the engagement of like Dead Space or a Resident Evil 4, where the tension comes from the fact that I'm still using skill and like managing ammo and shooting a bunch of zombies and I kick ass, but there's more zombies than I can manage. And as I run out of ammo and headshot, I have to eventually run. The thing about an unkillable thing is that I always eventually just think of it as a big red orb that is unkillable and I just avoid it. And that's not that scary to me. That it's just like, oh, that's the forbidden fruit of knowledge. You don't fuck with that thing. Got it, chief.
Don't eat from the tree for the tree.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, but the funny thing is, though...
Whereas in Dead Space, when the things... I'm like, these things are fucking coming at me. Oh, no, excuse me.
Yeah, you can't
me.
Avoid them. Right. Like, yeah. Well, that's the thing. Is like, of course, the games are designed that if you're not allowed to eat from the tree, you can at least avoid the tree. But Dead Space, you can't avoid it. So that's interesting. So, I mean, because those are, I would say, the two fundamental horror experiences.
Fight back or you can't fight
back.
Yeah,
that's kind of it. Yeah. And most games and also most horror games are in the Dead Space variety where you're, whether it's Castlevania or fucking, Splatterhouse whatever.
Yeah.
You're shooting
the thing
back.
Most games want to give you that satisfaction. And so I appreciate a game that's just like, nope, that's not what we're doing here at all. And I do think there needs to be more games like this. As
did you like
RE7?
RE7
I loved
was kind RE7. Of this direction.
I
love that franchise.
Yes.
I only played. I played a little bit, but I haven't played it.
You would
I
like
it,
it because it's more. It's this.
You're powerless.
It's this more
much,
than it is. I mean, there's some shooting, but yeah, you can't kill the thing that's chasing you a lot of that game. And I think that's
is that the tall lady?
No, that's
various
that's
members
Village.
Of the family at different times.
That's Village. You're thinking of Village, which is the sequel.
Oh, wait. RE7 is the one where you're
in
it's
the house.
The hillbilly. It's the
yes.
True Detective house.
Yes.
Yeah, I played that in VR, and let me tell you.
Yeah, that's rough. I've done
not
it
not fun.
Scary.
The moment I put on those glasses, I was just like, oh, wait. I don't want to be here. No.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. There's an upcoming title release. In fact, this may come out after this title releases, called Scorn. That's like a horror puzzler.
Sure,
it's like a witness type.
Based on the art of my favorite artist of all time, Zdzisław Bieszczynski, which I'm saying incorrectly and butchering, but an incredible dark surrealist, and this game is explicitly based on his artwork.
And I'm intrigued
intrigued by the artwork, but it looks like you don't do anything.
I'm looking at
it. It looks like you're solving puzzles in it, which is an interesting way to think about horror and one we haven't done too much of. So Resident Evil certainly does it, but like it's a unique idea, and I think it merits mentioning because it's not one of the two that we were just talking
about. It also merits mentioning because you said it's based off an artist. This looks like H.R. Giger, who's famously did Alien.
It's like that.
Yeah,
it's like
exactly like H.R. Giger.
They mentioned Giger, but they also said they're leaning heavily toward Zdzisław, and I wanted to shout him out because he never gets enough credit.
I think that means it's probably time that we revisit our sponsors and get our shit together. And then when we come back, we will decide whether this game belongs on the Celestial hard drive or not.
Today, I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time-ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back. Everyone's been sufficiently rebuked. I definitely hit Dave with a flamethrower. And I think it's time that we pass another and final checkpoint right into Keep or Delete, where we decide whether this game belongs with its celestial brethren in the hands of aliens who presumably will not eat it.
And are probably not xenomorphs.
Presumably not.
Ideally.
Yeah, otherwise we've been doing this wrong. We've been doing this very wrong.
Puncture the hard drive with their mandible and melt it. Yeah.
It's like, what a strange effort we put into this.
We're like, we did a whole podcast for that.
You know how many years we put into that? Bro, come on. I'm going to start with the illustrious Dave. Dave the Celestial Thinker. What say you, sir?
Which game is this? Inscription?
Dave the Celestial Thinker. I need a shot.
I'll delete inscription.
You're not a deleting
it wants to be deleted.
Alien Isolation.
So this is a situation where it's weird. Because if I knew there was a sequel coming out for this, I would have more to say. But like I said, I looked it up. The people who made this game aren't working for that company anymore.
Yeah.
So it's probably not going to make another. And considering how this is probably the best Alien game that we'll ever get, and I think one of the best horror games and one of the best adaptations, I do feel like, and if I was thinking, like, because I know all your guests want to keep all the time, because why not? It costs me nothing. But if there was really a hard drive with like 100 games that I wanted aliens to see, and I was like, I want them to see horror on our culture. Because also that hard drive, like there's no movies or books on that hard drive. So I have to think in terms of like what encompasses our culture from
perspective. There's no blueprints or anything on there either, right? So like
exactly.
All they
like,
get
it's
is
just
video games.
Video games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's yeah, right. And so
that's
I'm like,
premise.
Well, I want them to know fear. This,
I want
and,
the aliens to know
and I
fear.
Want them to know the Alien franchise, the universe, then yeah, I have to keep this because I think Alien as a franchise is important and I want to show aliens what we think of them, that they're little goblins, you know?
Well,
and we
not
hate
so
them.
Little, but
no.
We do hate them.
No,
yes.
Yeah, if anything, yeah, that we fear them, that we fear the unknown and horror based on the concept of aliens, this, I think, sums it up. Because obviously, all those other horror games that are sci-fi horror, guess where they're pulling from? They're pulling from Alien, right? Like, they're at least a little bit inspired by it. And this is it. This is Alien.
Alien definitely looms large over video games. Like, even stuff like Halo. Or other, like very popular game franchises are deeply influenced by that movie franchise for sure.
Yeah, and so this is the meat and potatoes. This is like,
yeah, I agree.
This is like the raw material that everything else is crafted from. So and
it's closer to it.
Such,
yes.
Yeah, and since this is such a really like good adaptation that represents the original film, yeah, I have to keep it for that reason.
All right. Mike, you want me to go? You want to go?
Sure, you go.
Okay. I apologize if you can hear that truck. There's some kind of crazy traffic going out of my window.
That's the magic of microphones. No one can ever hear it. You just sound like a lunatic.
Yeah. Oh.
I've learned this many times.
Great. I imagined a truck and it really bothered me.
That's right.
Hey, I really am on the fence on this one. I think Dave's argument about it being an important adaptation is true. And I think I remember my first two playthroughs. Like, I loved this game so much. In fact, that's why I wanted to cover it. Because I was like, dude, this game is very, very strong and sort of overlooked. And I feel like if I didn't keep this, I'd have to keep something like Outlast, which I liked, but I didn't like as much as this. So I am going to keep it. I think for the evade, survive genre, it's still my favorite experience. I still wish it was maybe half the length. And I know I say that a lot, because I play a lot of video games, but I really do think anybody who goes through this is going to feel like it gets very repetitive toward the end. And that matters. But as an adaptation, as an actual gameplay mechanic archive, and as a kind of a vibe, like a horror vibe, it's pretty tough to beat.
Yeah, I'll delete that. It's a hearty, handy delete without reservation. I just don't. Well, it's what you're talking about earlier. I do think explicitly the credo of our show is to hold video game stories to the same standard we would hold a film story. And to me, this game succeeds on vibe and then succeeds on gameplay for about 6 hours and then as 24 hours additional content. And that's just too much for me. I would pick something like PT or Soma, probably. I do agree that horror needs to be on the drive. Okay. Yeah, I think Soma's stronger, and it's not a coincidence that it's much shorter.
Let's talk about that game someday.
If I was making a drive of 100 movies, Alien would be on the drive.
I agree.
But I'm not going to include a video game on the video game drive because it references a franchise that I love in the film world, because I just don't think that's the nature of the exercise. I hate being in this position. I feel really uncomfortable. But that is my true opinion.
I think Michael, that's great that you did that, honestly. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
Just to bookmark this, I think we need to talk about Soma then, because I've played that, and it sounds like you have too. If you feel that way about it, we should talk about it. I'm curious about that. Go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to say, does it comfort you to know that I feel nothing about this exercise?
Great,
and it's fine?
Yes, that makes me feel much better.
I'm not surprised whatsoever that you feel nothing about any exercise, Dave.
Sure.
You beautiful wheel of chaos. Speaking of wheels of chaos, if anybody wants to zip over and see anything you've ever done, Dave, maybe even some stuff you've done with our friend Mike, but never anything you and I have done.
We've
never done anything.
I've never seen them in the same room.
That's right.
Before.
Never. Yeah. Where can they do that, Dave?
Well, there's a podcast network that I co-run with Thomas Ryman called Gamefully, GameFully, Unemployed. You can look that up anywhere. There's podcasts. We have mainly movie podcasts where we talk about movie news and trailers, and then we do movie reviews every week. When is this coming out? Is this a spooky season?
It's coming out in October.
That's right.
I believe it's coming out after our Dead Space 2 episode, and I'm sorry if I just spoiled that, but I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's all I can say.
Depending on where this came out, we're going to have a We Just Watched episode for I Saw the Devil with a special guest.
Ooh, good movie.
Named Jason Pargin.
Great.
That's either have been out or is coming out, and this is me announcing it. What else? Oh, yeah, we have a Patreon. Patreon.com/GamefullyUnemployed. We have exclusive podcasts on there for just $5 a month. You get access to Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. Those are podcasts that sound exactly what they, you know, the title says. But we also do stuff with the Small Beans Network. Patreon.com/SmallBeans. We do a couple podcasts joint with them, like Star Trek The Next Futurama, which I do with some guy. And then we do Spielboys, which is Spielberg Boys. I'll also stream every now and then on Gamefully Unemployed, the Twitch. I've been playing 7 Days to Die, a perfect game.
Now the motorcycle.
Yep, yeah, I'm on Twitter at Movie Hooligan.
You'll also,
that's everything.
Dave will also come by and ruin my streams with somewhat regularly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Somewhat regularly he'll do
yes.
that.
Find me on Adam's streams.
You will
be
find
in
him
a dick.
There. Yeah, you really will. But I love you, Dave. I'm so glad you do.
Thank
it.
You.
Hey, Swaim, did you want to plug anything or should we get the hell off this ship before it explodes?
We should at least leave this locker.
Yeah, thank God. It's
very
somebody
sweaty,
smells
yeah.
bad, and
yeah.
I don't know who it is. I do. Just kidding. It's me.
Work complete.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer, and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great-looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.